Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country and welcome to Real Science Radio. Today we are continuing where we left off last week. This is part two of Atomic Biology with Doug McBurney and Tom Rogers. Now let's jump right back into the broadcast.
So, you know, men can do a few things, but they can't build sophisticated molecular machines and they cannot put the breath of life in. And I was noticing a couple of your recent shows on molecular biology and the breath of life.
Yes.
That breath of life is definitely divine. Nobody else can put that in. And when it's taken out, the cell dies.
That's a fact. And Tom, you talk about what men can do. And of course, a Darwinian evolution leaves no room even for a man. It's supposedly there's no intelligence involved at all. And right. you talk about a 2016 Nobel Prize in chemistry for some men who were able to organize a very simplistic version of some of what you're describing here. Right. And then you move to the topic of life. And now, Tom, we're getting into something much bigger than even molecular biology, much bigger than atomic biology. We're getting into where does this all come from, Tom, and how can we transmit this to the next generation, to our children, to our culture, to our society in general?
Well, this is the major challenge, and we can definitely get into Christian schools. My next challenge is with the seminaries, to get this into seminaries. And I want to get a lot of publicity, you know, and I may have to pay for it. I've been quite surprised at the fact that, and you may have noticed this, that some Christian organizations are starting to combine God with evolution, like theistic evolution and so on.
Oh, yes. Well, so here's what I've noticed, Tom, is that so many of our organizations, whether secular, religious, Christian, whatever they want to call themselves, they are much more likely to combine evolution, a Big Bang cosmology and whatnot with their religious message. They're much more likely to do that than they're ever likely to violate the sacred commandment, the separation of church and state. That's the sacred commandment that they will not violate, Tom. Yes, is it the same in Canada?
We have an answer there. Okay.
Well, help me. Boy, do we need answers.
I don't know if you've seen this recent book called Theistic Evolution. It's over 1,000 pages showing what the problems are with theistic evolution.
I have not, but we will point our audience to it. Theistic Evolution. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. It's published by Crossway.
Got it.
Okay. Now, what was the question again? Because I had a good answer. Now I forget the question.
Well, no, that's okay, Tom. I wanted to know if the sacred sacrament of the separation of church and state is as holy to Christians in Canada as it is to Christians in America.
Okay, well, here's how we handle this. First of all, we want to point out that God is not the church. The church can be a building or a group of people who are Satanists, New Agers, Protestants, Catholics, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, cults. God is definitely not the church. Now, he is highly recognized by some churches, just as he's highly recognized by our government.
Well, wait a minute. Stop, Tom. You must be from some kind of foreign planet. Oh, forget a foreign country. What do you mean God's recognized by our government?
In whom do we trust?
Well, on our money here in the States, it says in God we trust, actually.
And who do you ask to bless America?
Well, we have an old song. It's an old favorite. It's called, who was it? Oh, it's God Bless America, actually. Yeah, yes.
Absolutely. And who is on some war memorials?
Well, we have crosses on some war memorials, and we have references even to the Ten Commandments and Bible verses on many of them.
Right. And God is in the justice system, in the Pledge of Allegiance, the Declaration of Independence. So God is highly recognized by your government and ours. He's in the first line of our Constitution here.
Well, thank you, brother. Boy, that's the truth, isn't it? I think that's something that a lot of people have, well, it's not just that they've forgotten it, it's that they'd probably be shocked to even hear that that's the fact, Tom.
It is, but, you know, I mean, you folks in south of the 49th parallel are more strong believers than Canadians are, but, you know, we still have a majority here that claim to believe in God. And what that God looks like now is getting pretty fuzzy because of all this preaching in our schools that, you know, evolution is the cause of life. So what do you need God for? So that has to be ruled out. That is, you know, what I read from Lewontin really shows anti-science, not just anti-God, but anti-science, because it rules out the basic science premise, and that is to follow the evidence wherever it leads. And they've ruled that out. So it isn't science.
It really is no longer science. And Lewontin's quote would be shocking to so many of the atheists and so many of the evolutionists that I hear from. And so I want to talk a little bit about school, because here at Real Science Radio, Tom, for the better part of 20 years that we've been on the air and the better part of 30 years that our ministry has existed, we have encouraged parents to get their children out of the government schools. In fact, Tom, we have a list of approximately 1,987 reasons to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Wow. Tom, what happened to the government schools in North America that caused them to become the enemy of God? Do you have an answer to what happened? When did it happen? What can we do?
Yeah, 1963, Madeline Murray O'Hare.
Madeline.
At the time, but yes. she and some of her atheist friends got the Supreme Court to rule the Lord's Prayer out of the schools. And that decade really showed morality going downhill, skyrocketing downhill.
Yes. Well, Tom, you know, my father, God rest his soul, he's in heaven now, but my father pegged the decline and fall of Western civilization with the release of the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. That's when my dad said it all started to come crashing down, and that was hot on the heels of Madeline Murray O'Hare. But Tom, what I have taught my children and what we have encouraged our audience is that the idea that the government should educate our children is antichrist. Not to put too fine a point on it, not to offend anyone, not to make anyone uncomfortable, but the idea that you should hand your children over to the government for their education is, well, let's just say it's not profitable and it's not the best. And what I'm so excited about with your, what I'm going to call a curriculum, Tom, I don't know if you would describe it that way. You sent me the summary edition of How We Are Amazingly Made from the Atomic Biology Society, and I've had a chance to read through it, and I'm excited for the potential for this book. We'll get back to the public schools, Tom. We'll get back to that subject. But what I'm excited for is the opportunity, number one, for homeschool parents. Homeschool parents, I'm here to tell you that if you want your children to get excited about the science of biology and how it relates to reality, this could be a curriculum that could be the foundation of your child's scientific education. And Tom, how would homeschooling parents, which we have a large homeschooling audience here at Real Science Radio, how can they find out about atomic biology? How can they get a hold of these materials?
Again, if they go to our website, www.atomicbiology.com, the books are shown there and you can order them through the website or contact us directly if you want some volume discounts, because the website is just linked to Amazon and so on. So they're like one-off prices. But if it's a association, they can contact us directly through the website and get a discount on these. And the summary introductions are, you know, very reasonable as textbooks go. Even the textbooks are going to be very reasonable. And they are now, but they're going to get more so shortly.
Oh, absolutely, Tom. I was just reading an article that a school district near me spends approximately $12,000 of my tax dollars every year to indoctrinate and corrupt just one child. And so I'm assuming that if someone were to purchase all of your materials, they would come in at significantly less than $12,000 a year. Is that, would that be accurate? Although I got to tell you, Tom.
Pardon me for laughing.
Well, I got to tell you, Tom, that friends of mine, people I know, I mean, I'm getting old enough now that so many of my friends are sending their kids to college. And it's been extraordinary over the last few years, Tom, to talk with some of my friends. Some of them are Christians. Some of them are, they're not believers. They all have the same fear. Oh my gosh, I'm going to send Tammy off to college. I hope she doesn't come back as a cross-dressing transgendered communist. And yet they still believe they need to send their children off to these institutions, and they do.
Oh, yes.
It's hard for me to understand, Tom, and I think that the doxy gets set in the mind of the parents early on that somehow their children can't function in society without an education provided by the government. And that starts in kindergarten, which, by the way, folks, kindergarten became a method by which the National Socialist State occupied the minds of children before they started going to school. It was Adolf Hitler and his regime. That's why kindergarten is a German word. It's because the Nazis wanted to get a hold of the kids before first grade. Mm-hmm. And so they started a program, and good party members sent their kids to the kindergarten so that they could be indoctrinated. And the indoctrination, we've backed off a little bit from the straight up Nazi indoctrination. Although I would say, Tom, that our educational institutions and certain government authorities are actually veering back onto the road that's more similar to Nazism than ever before. And the off ramp from that is a godly education for your children. And Tom, I want to get back now to what you talked about. One of the things that blew my mind was when you started talking about the number of atoms that have to be selected. They have to be the right atoms. And this all can't just happen by accident. And in your notes to me, you mentioned that this indicates God's omnipotence, his omnipresence, and his omniscience. Tell me what you mean by that.
Well, the omnipresence is from the atoms again, and that is that we have perpetual motion of electrons in every atom. perpetual motion is not a natural phenomenon. If you want something to keep moving, you have to keep putting in energy.
That's right.
And so for these electrons, there has to be a constant forever flow of controlled energy, controlled amount of energy to keep every electron moving in every atom. So this gives God the omnipresence. There's a form of God that is in each atom, moving those electrons at the right speed, not too fast so they fly out of orbit, not too slow so they implode into the nucleus. So there's God's presence in a form in every atom.
There we go.
Omnipresence. The omnipotence is something that I really can't even start thinking about, is how he could speak the universe into existence. That is so far beyond my pay grade. That
Oh, I've got some ideas on that. But before I get to that, so there's your omnipresence, the omnipotence, this ability to speak reality into physical being. What about omniscience?
Okay, so if he is present in every atom, that includes the atoms in our brains. So he knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're going to say before we say it. And he knows everything that's going on because he's in every material thing. And so there's the omniscience. He's everywhere.
Wow.
So that's our explanation. And, you know, I challenge anybody to prove where any of this is wrong. I think it's all verifiable.
Tom, I've got to tell you that the definition that you gave me when we started talking, and I shouldn't say the definition, the description that you gave me, it helped to stretch my mind to try to understand some of the things we're saying, to try to describe the creative work and the creative product of the living God tends to stretch the mind. And it stretches the mind into things like omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience. What are these things? How can we quantify and define what these things actually are? And I love what you just said about omnipotence. How is it that God could speak reality, physical reality, into being? Well, Tom, I'm not sure I can describe how he did it in a way that could be reproduced, but I do want to try to help describe it for the audience today. Omnipotence, this ability to speak living and physical reality into being, and the idea of omnipresence. I like the way you put it, Tom. God is present in some form in all of this physical reality that we experience. And then omniscience, God's knowledge, to try to ponder the length and the breadth and the depth of God's knowledge it's mind-boggling. And so we describe it as omniscience because it's too big for us to really understand. God decided before the creation, God decided what the creation would be. And that decision, Tom, I believe it was taken after enormous thought and planning, what you describe accurately as super intelligence, right? That's a great word, Tom. I'm going to steal that one from you. I'm going to use it for the rest of my career.
Yeah.
Super intelligence.
Qualify it by just saying far beyond mankind's level of intelligence.
Oh, okay? Absolutely.
Super, yeah.
Absolutely.
So man can't do what God can do.
Oh, there's no way. Well, listen to this, Tom. What God did, I believe, what I've gotten from the scripture, what I've gotten from reading books from men like you and Jerry Bergman, and the work that you have all done, is that God decided what reality would be, and then he spoke and said, it shall be, and it is. Because he is. Because he is, it is, and it exists. And everything that we see physically exists because of a decision that God made in his mind beforehand after much careful planning by our super intelligent creator. And so this decision exists now in the mind of God. And this decision that God made, which is actually quintillions of lines of decisions, if you were to get in and if you could get into the mind of God and look at what is in there, the decision he made about creation, it's quadrillions and quadrillions upon quadrillions of lines of what we would perceive as computer code. These decisions exist in the mind of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah. Everything in the physical universe, everything that exists, biological, physical, all exists based on a quantum connection to those decisions. The Word of God. The Word of God sustains everything physically through some sort of quantum connection that we can't quite understand, but that the quantum physicists can sometimes describe, and we can sometimes observe it, but it's all very mystifying. How is it that information becomes something physical? Well, that's because God decided it would be that way, and because he is super intelligent, and he is omnipotent. He has all the power to do what he wants to do, and he's doing it right now, and the proof is we're living it. So there's God's presence, is that inexplicable, mysterious quantum connection that sustains everything physically. There's your omnipresence, the presence of God. And it's all based on God's omniscience. God knows everything he needs to know in order to make everything he wants to happen, happen. How do we know that? Because it's happening. And the way you describe it in the atomic biology curriculum, if you'll allow me to call it that, I think it helps us understand what is omnipotence actually. I know what it's been described as. What is omnipresence? I've heard it described. What is omniscience? I've heard it described. Well, I think we've used words and terms to try to describe things that are bigger than anything we're able to conceive. But I think that works like what you're doing here, what we've done on Real Science Radio and Dr. Bergman and so many of the other enlightening persona within the creationist community are helping us better understand how God has spoken his presence into reality, and that his knowledge sustains everything. And there's this quantum connection that we don't quite understand. But Tom, your book is helping me understand it much better. And I want folks out there, especially in the homeschooling community, and Tom, I don't want to leave out the Christian schools and even the public schools. So if you're homeschooling your children, like I have, by the way, all three of my children, Tom, for over 20 years, my wife has homeschooled our children in the academic area. And I have read the Bible to my children every day that I've been home, which is almost every day of their entire lives, at least some part of the Bible. And so that's been our homeschool curriculum. And now our oldest, who's already graduated, but she's still in school because learning is a lifelong thing. Tom, we're going to make your How We Are Amazingly Made, your atomic biology primer. We're going to make that available to our oldest, and that's going to become a part of our younger children's curriculum. So I want to encourage homeschoolers to go to atomicbiology.com. That's where you can get the information, atomicbiology.com. If you have a homeschool group or you want to buy multiple copies, don't just go to Amazon. Get in touch with the folks at atomicbiology.com, and they can even work some volume discounts. And that's for Christian schools as well. If there are any Christian school administrators, teachers who are listening, atomicbiology.com, and get in touch with the folks there to find out about volume discounts and the curriculum for your school. Now, I want to, and we might close with this, Tom, because it's a bit of a big topic and it'd probably take us through the rest of the time that we have together. But let's talk about the government a little bit. The government schools, Tom, I think we both agree are a mess.
Yes, they have their problems for sure. And I'm starting to think, you know, so much of it trickles down from upper academia. And I gather that they're getting more and more Marxist in their thinking in the universities now. I don't know if you've heard that or not, but I've certainly heard it a number of times.
Oh, my goodness,
that's,
Tom.
That's scary. That's scary.
Well, Tom, not only have I heard it, I've gone and witnessed on the college campuses, and 20 years ago, I saw it with my own eyes, and I heard it from not only the students, but from the teachers. Mm-hmm. The naked Marxism that was allowed to flourish in the universities that I've got to tell you, Tom, as a conservative commentator, whatever I was 20 years ago, it's kind of hard to define. But I, along with so many of my counterparts in the so-called conservative media, we had a tendency to chuckle about it and to snicker and to say, oh, these kids in college, you know, they're just acting silly and they're Marxist. And instead of chuckling about it, I think we probably should have been more terrified or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. Right. Because now the inmates who were being conditioned and brainwashed 20 and 30 years ago, they now run the institutions. And just as you say, Tom, it's all trickled down from the higher academia, from the government.
Right.
Let's talk about the government, okay? Because it's the government that's really responsible for academia, because the government funds academia. Tom, is there any hope that the Christian message, the message of reality, I like you describe yourself as an independent researcher at Reality Research and Development. So I can tell you're interested in reality. Is there any hope that the Christian worldview can salvage reality from the Marxists and the insane people who seem to be ascendant?
Okay, here's a possible solution. And I'm glad I have a chance to make this point. But as we were going over earlier, how God is highly recognized by the government. I mean, you don't offhand think of it, but on the other hand, God is in the government in many, many areas, okay, and on public buildings and on the currency and in Pledge of Allegiance, etc. We've been over that.
Right.
So, because of that, students have the right to know why God is so highly recognized by their government.
I like that. They have the right to know.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's something we're going to work on, is emphasizing that right. God is already part of government, highly recognized. Like I say, first line of our Constitution, and he's in your Declaration of Independence and Pledge of Allegiance, et cetera, et cetera. And I gather he's getting more recognition on In God We Trust. That's getting onto public vehicles and so on. Some states. So we really want to push this idea that students have the right to know why God is so highly recognized by their government.
Amen, and, brother. Well,
so we really need partners, financial partners, and people that will talk about this to publicize the information, because if it stays in a box in my office, that's not going to help any.
No, Tom, the world needs this information. The world needs this information. So if you want to help advance the kingdom of God, reality, the truth, then go to atomicbiology.com, get in touch, find out how you can partner with them financially. And you can partner with Tom Rogers here, who we have on the air, but also with Graham McLennan. His credentials are too extraordinary for me to describe on this short period of time. And, of course, Dr. Jerry Bergman, who's been a favorite and one of the men who helped enlighten my mind to science. And Tom, I'm not a scientist. I like to tell people that I barely graduated high school, and that really is true. But by the grace of God, I even graduated high school. But because I've been exposed to ideas presented by men trying to understand God, my mind has been expanded beyond and above most of the college professors and medical doctors I've met in the last 20 years. My understanding of science and reality has been enlightened far above theirs, if they're secular, Tom. And that's why I understand how important it is for our children, for our government, Tom, what you just said. The Christian world has shrunk away from the idea that we should have the dominant influence in government. The Christian worldview should have the dominant view, because these governments we have in the West would not exist without the Christian worldview. We made them happen. Our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, enabled Western civilization. He enabled the Enlightenment. He enabled the modern world. Every convenience you have, every freedom and every liberty you have came from our Father through Jesus Christ, through his church to the world. So we actually should be in charge of this place, Tom. And if we were, and we're following Christ and we're humbled before him, Tom, then the world would be a better place. The world would be a better place, and the education of our children would be better. Let me see, Tom, when we were first introduced, and how much time do we have left? I'm looking at my cracked staff here with their timer, and we may end with this, Tom, but you and I exchanged a couple of emails early on, and you asked me about coming on and doing the show. And I sent a message to you. And so, Tom, I think I just want you to tell the audience about our email exchange in bullet point number 9 there.
On that list that I sent, I'd mentioned your encouragement to explore how we, that's Real Science Radio, might together with you promote the Lord to the world. Well, I think we've done a little of that today, Doug, and I'm really so grateful that you would have me on and listen to some of this information maybe use it.
Amen. Oh, well, Tom, I can assure you that we have the brightest audience in creation, and our folks will be getting in touch. And I was just so blessed to be reminded by you that I had used those words. Because you dash off an email to someone in hopes that they might want to come on the show and help with our ministry. And then I almost forgot that I had written this line. Hi, Tom, I'd like to explore how we might together with you promote the Lord to the world. And I'm just blessed that you reminded me that I said that. And I'm just so happy that the Lord has blessed me so that that type of thing would cross my mind. It's as I said, Tom, the truth and reality flows downhill from our God through his Son into us through the Holy Spirit, and then out to the world through the radio transmitter at the mighty 670 KLT AM 670 in Denver, Colorado, and then out to the entire planet via the podcast. And it's just such a blessing to interact with men like you, Tom, who are diligently seeking to explain the truth about the living God. And Tom, when we do that, by the nature of just doing it, we will lift up other people and show them Jesus Christ. And that's what the Real Science Radio is all about. And I can tell that your work at the Atomic Biology Institute is in step with exactly what we want to do. And so I want to encourage our audience members to go to atomicbiology.com, buy some materials, talk to the staff there about volume discounts for your homeschool group, buy the curriculum for your own kids. I can't encourage it more highly. Tom, I really appreciate you taking the time to tell our audience about atomic biology. And I want to just ask you if you had anything else you wanted to share with our audience before we have to close.
Okay, well, I would like to say that the focus here is to bring the credit for our life back where it belongs, and that's to our Creator. And this idea of giving evolution the credit for life and the origin of life is such a farce and destructive, because it's smashed the moral compass for all these young people that are being taught this stuff. And so we want them to understand why God is part of their government in the first place, and to understand that he is the one that makes their food, you know. And so they should have an attitude of gratitude for somebody that cares so much for them. And he does so much work every second of every day for every one of us. That's kind of the closing comment, I'd say.
Amen, brother. So, you know, we're right now we're seeing the farmers rise up and start to drive their tractors into the Capitol to protest the idea of the insane socialists to shut down farms in order to save the world. And I appreciate so much you coming on the air and reminding people that while we support our farmers and I want to put diesel in their tractors so that they can drive over the Capitol, I appreciate you reminding everyone that it's God that makes our food. It's right God on. That makes our food and enables the farmers. And if we would give credit to him, Tom, we probably wouldn't have to drive our tractors through the Capitol to get the attention of the insane people.
Yeah, good point.
Amen. Tom, thank you for at the close here helping us to turn our attention back to where it belongs. I'm Doug McBurney. Thank you for listening. For Fred Williams and everyone here at Real Science Radio, may God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.